Yeah, so I'm at a hotel, and I hear Peter Schiff. I turn on the TV in the bathroom, and it turns out that RT is on the station. It's the station that's on the cable. And before I begin, let me just go ahead and reiterate what I've talked about with RT in the past. RT is a joke. It's another Jewish scam. And their whole premise is, when they're advertising for themselves, when they're promoting themselves, they talk about how mainstream media is bad, and they give you the real truth, right? Folks, they are mainstream media. Wake up! And it's funny that they've got all these hacks and idiots and psychopaths on there. A great example is this one, what's this guy's name? Kokesh or some fucking loser, okay? Some pothead loser libertarian, remember him? Jewish loser? He had some little TV show, and then he ended up getting arrested for smoking pot on the Capitol Hill grounds or something like that. Or, I don't know, he had a gun. Anyway, typical libertarian psychopath. Okay? And Jewish con artist. And there's many more on RT. And by the way, once again, RT is Jewish run. And they also promote Jewish con men and clowns and idiots, just like the mainstream media. Folks, if you want to create a portal that's different than the so-called mainstream media, the first thing you have to do is remove the Jews from that portal. You see, the problem with the media is that it is created by Jews for Jews to lie to, dumb down, and rip off Gentiles. That is a fact. Okay? So anyway, Peter Schiff. So I heard the lady announce his name, and it's before the election. And so I came out of the bathroom. I wanted to hear what this fucking broken clock, moron, idiot, loser had to say, because I wanted, you know, it's early in the morning, and I wanted to hear. I wanted some comedy before I went for breakfast. And the first thing I noticed is that it's obvious to me, and I don't watch RT, but if someone would have asked me, I would have known this, but I have evidence now, based upon watching this quote-unquote interview, that RT is rigged. They create rigged interviews for Peter Schiff, just like CNBC, just like all the kosher media. What do I mean by rigged? Well, what I mean is that it's clear to me that Peter Schiff is either giving them talking points and or questions in advance to lead him, and or is making sure that he gets to talk about this and that. How do I know this? Because his so-called quote-unquote interviews are basically infomercials. It's pretty obvious. You see? And this is the damaging impact of the media, of Peter Schiff in the media. And this is why the media is engaging in fraud when they are interviewing Peter Schiff. Remember, they're interviewing him on a daily basis. They are not disclosing his track record. They only point to inaccurate statements such as he predicted the housing crisis or whatever, which he did not. And by doing that, people think that he's credible. You see, the media is not pointing out his track record. And whenever one of these Jewish pinheads in the media, or Gentile puppets of the Jews, like Alex Jones, makes a factual misstatement or lies, basically, about anything Peter Schiff has done or anything about his firm, such as, for instance, Alex Jones having claimed that Peter Schiff manages billions and billions of dollars. Peter Schiff, I have never seen him correct any of these misstatements or left out statements or whatever you want to call them. And that in itself, if you don't correct that, and you're present, that actually constitutes fraud. So I could make a case that Peter Schiff is actually engaging in fraud. There's many instances of that. But certainly the media has been and continues to engage in fraud by positioning all these pinhead, clown, idiot, loser, con men, most of which, the vast majority of which are Jews, as experts, not disclosing to you the full side of the story. So let me get to the main point, the main reason why I wanted to make this little audio. Once again, Peter Schiff is coming on TV talking about the election, right? And so he wants to give you his take on things as if it matters. The guy's a moron. And he always managed to throw in there something about the dollar and gold, right? And notice, of course, these days he doesn't talk about oil because, you know, oil is sitting at $47 a barrel. Remember how he was always, you know, oil. I mean, it's shocking that this is a guy. It doesn't take that much understanding to realize that. I mean, because I like oil as an investment, but there's times to be in it and there's times not to be in it. Right? This guy's a buy and hold broken clock moron. If you're going to be in resources, number one, you must have very low exposure. Okay? Unless that's overlapping with a low risk situation. Such as, for instance, if you want oil securities, you should have a low exposure typically. Unless, in other words, you can boost that exposure if it is overlapping with other layers of safety, such as if you're going to invest in oil and you have ExxonMobil, right? Or Chevron, right? Or, you know, some of the refiners as well. Those are, such as Phillips, those are added layers of protection because they are blue chips, namely Exxon and Chevron, right? They're blue chips. So you're getting that added layer of protection. Now, this is kind of common sense in my opinion, although it is, one could argue that it does take experience as a professional in the financial industry to realize this. But no one has ever come out and told me this, okay? So if I can realize this, everyone else should on their own as well. If they are careful, thoughtful, critical investors. The other point is that, once again, he puts gold into the discussion as if it's an investment. So he's saying, oh, well, you should go into this election short the dollar and long gold. Wait a second. He's supposed to be a financial advisor. What kind of speculative bullshit is this? This is speculative trading shit. What kind of investor, folks, do you understand? You don't do this. You don't do this type of shit. This is speculative bullshit. This is not investing. If you're going to trade, trade fucking stocks. Trade good stocks. What the fuck are you want to get involved with Forex bullshit and precious metals bullshit trading? What? So folks, of course, most people are fucking stupid. They don't understand. They don't say, wait a second. Isn't this a trading strategy? Because of course, Peter Schiff isn't going to tell you that. His whole thing is whenever he can point to any situation where he can spew out something for gold and to denounce the dollar, he'll do it. Okay? Folks, gold does not belong in your mind or in your portfolio as an investment. Only under certain situations, rare situations over time, is it an investment, part of an investment strategy in terms of an investment transaction. Now, the last time, in general, I can think of gold being an investment strategy was when I advised people to buy gold in 2006 in America's financial apocalypse. Now, of course, I had advised people prior to that book, but the point is that That's it for gold. And there's people out there now that are wondering, like, well, gosh, you know, I wonder, you know, when is gold going to bottom? Maybe I should find out what Mike Stathis has to say, since he's been right 100% of the time, basically, on gold. Right? So, folks, if you're sitting there waiting for gold to come down so you can buy it, you're fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid. You understand that? The point is that gold is not part of an investment portfolio, unless it's a fund management situation. And the only reason why they buy gold is short term. I've talked about this. I've written about it over and over again. They just switch assets into gold over the short term as a place to park their money, because they don't have high commissions. They have very, very small fees the way they're able to do it. And the vast majority of time, they're doing it not by buying physical gold, but by hedging their portfolio with gold futures, which are very low fees, right? I mean, even the Jew, pinhead, con artist, moron, loser, Gerald Celente, even this fucking jughead realized that's the way you want to be in gold. Remember? He was bitching and crying when... I can't remember the name of the financial institution, that Forex company, MF Global or something, I don't know. Remember how they blew up? And he was talking about how, well, he got margin calls because he was trading the futures. And then someone challenged him later on and said, well, oh, what you don't understand, I just wanted to get the futures and I was going to take delivery of the physical gold. Yeah, bullshit. Oh, really? That's interesting, Gerald, because how can you get a margin call if you're going to take physical delivery? Margin call means you're borrowing money that you don't have to front that gold. So how are you going to take physical delivery if you're on fucking margin? You see, folks? But Celente was trading gold because the fees are low. He wasn't trading physical gold, and he was trading gold. Most importantly, he was trading it. Like I've been advising people for a number of years, take advantage of that liquidity. And you certainly can't do that if you got physical gold, which is why he didn't want to disclose prior to that he was in the gold contracts. Remember, he was telling you to hold on to gold. Get that physical gold. Folks, all these people involved in gold are fucking con artists. When are you going to wake up? Some of you, hopefully all of you who have been listening to me, specifically my research clients, understand this by now. And you're probably sitting there laughing and saying, like, gosh, Mike, okay, please, I get it. But, of course, keep in mind that there are new people each day that come across my information for the first time. So this is for their benefit. And, of course, I get nothing, no compensation for doing this. In fact, I lose business because people want to hear about gold if they're in gold, right? And if I appease their confirmation bias, then of course they're going to want to get my research, right? I don't want these fucking numbskulls in my research. In fact, I'm going to have a screening system in the future to have, it's going to be an application system. I don't want fucking idiots getting my research. Anyway, so the point is, folks, is that gold is not an investment, okay? And some of you out there, by the time you figure it out, it's going to be, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now when gold is back down to $300-$400 and all the hype is gone. And the Jewish gold pumping con artist syndicate, that's kind of the period whereby they're not pumping it anymore and they are buying it for the next cycle of pump and dump, gold scamming con artist schemes. You see, that's what happened in the 70s, right? Early 80s. So that's how it works, folks. Gold is not an investment, and really for retail investors has no place in a portfolio other than for exceptional periods during time, okay? That's fact. That's fact. Now, The only exception would be some gold blue chip stocks, or if you want to speculate, non-blue chip gold stocks, okay? But you have to understand that that is speculation, which is not investing, okay? So, for some of you numbskulls out there who have had gold all this time, okay? And of course, you always hear the guy that wants to tell you, well, he bought gold in 2001 or 2002, right? These are the same fucking idiots who are going to have it 20 years from now when it's much lower, when it's back down to where they bought it, right? 30 and 35 years prior to that. The idiots that don't understand, you need to have an exit strategy, okay? But you're going to have these guys holding on to the gold, waiting for it to recover, and they're going to be sitting there all these years with nothing. No dividends. Some of them will be paying storage fees, so on and so forth. Because the vast majority of people in the retail space who own gold are in a cult. The vast majority of these people don't realize they're in a cult. But they're in a cult. And that cult, basically, if you look at the gold pumping syndicate, that's the cult. That's the cult leaders. That's the cult movement. Okay? I've written about this. I've talked about it. I've made videos about it. That's how this whole thing fits in the bigger picture of things. Okay? So unfortunately, most of these individuals who have been sucked into this gold cult, the doomsday cult, they're never going to be investors in their lives, ever. Because they're not going to appreciate and understand what it means to be an investor. They're not going to understand basic investment fundamentals. They won't have ever held a security, a blue chip security that pays a nice dividend. You know? Just take a look. For instance, I'll give you one example, just a random example of a blue chip. Very common, well-regarded blue chip. Johnson & Johnson. Go back if you want to understand the importance of, and I've talked about this before, if you want to be active in your portfolio, that's fine. But never lose sight of what it means to be an investor and to have a longer-term picture of where you want to be and what you need to do. If you want further convincing, take a look at a stock like, let's say, Johnson & Johnson or Procter & Gamble. I think Johnson & Johnson is going to be a better situation. Just I'm not in front of a chart, but I would say so. Take a look if you'd bought either of those securities in 1980, okay? You can even say 85. Doesn't really matter. And I want you to go buy or go down the list and add up all the dividends. Now, of course, they're taxable, and the dividend tax law changed, I believe, in 2003. What is it, 18%, I believe. Nonetheless, I mean, you can you know, put a rough figure there for the taxation or what have you. But add up those dividends, okay? And take a look at the stock splits, right? And then take a look at what you've got. Right? I could sit here if I wanted to just kind of promote myself. I could tell you, well, hey, you know, look at the Wall Street Investment Bible where I told you to take a long short strategy with Blockbuster, short Blockbuster, and buy Netflix. Split adjusted for the split that Netflix had a couple of years ago. What that means is that you would have bought Netflix at about $4. Okay? That's what? How many percent is that? It's like 2,400% in less than 10 years, 8 years, 7 years, right? So, you know, that's why we all want to be long-term investors as well. We want to be long-term investors primarily because we want to build wealth, right? building wealth does not mean speculating. Building wealth means you want to hold some blue chips that pay dividends, and you want to actively manage your portfolio. But you don't want to get in a trading situation. It's okay to trade some securities sometimes and so forth, but for the most part, you want to be investors, right? There's also a component of speculation, no doubt. Why? Because we don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers, right? But understand, when you're throwing your money by the wayside, basically, versus a educational speculation, right? An education-based speculation, whereby you might be betting on a company that looks really good, right, over the long term, versus some bullshit, okay? Because obviously, you know, if you're filling your portfolio 100% with established blue chips, you're not going to get the kind of growth that you might like over time, right? So obviously, you would like to identify the next Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or Microsoft, right? That's where speculation comes in. It has to be an informed situation. You have to be more informed. Although being informed, you're still not going to necessarily know jack, but it's better than just kind of rolling the dice. And that would be, you know, the Netflix situation, right? So building wealth is providing for that situation, that is to say, blue chips, but also trying to kind of take a speculative small part of the portfolio, a very small part of the portfolio, depending upon the type of security you're talking about, bet on smaller companies that are, you know, that look to have a bright future, right? I mean, right now, you can look at, it's certainly not a blue chip, but it certainly has made a lot of progress and is well positioned. Under Armour, right? Where's Under Armour going to be in 20 years? It could be a very large company, much larger than it is now. Very dominant. I mean, it's got a lot of dominance right now, right? But then we have to say, wait a second, this is a retailer. Retailers come and go oftentimes, right? So I'm not going to get into the analysis of that company, but just basically in general, for a retailer, what you want to do is you want to ask yourself the question, how is this company embedding itself, imprinting itself into society, right? Same thing with Starbucks. You see what Starbucks has done? This is kind of the model that really McDonald's, one could argue McDonald's, created. You see? Anyway, more of that in the future. But the bottom line, once again, I've talked about a lot of things in this audio, unrehearsed, unedited, just on the fly. Bottom line, folks, if you pay attention to the media, you're going to lose your ass, because they're giving you all kinds of nonsense. You got Peter Schiff coming on telling you to short the dollar. Who the fuck's going to short the dollar? How is that suitable for retail investors to short anything? What kind of fucking lunatic comes on TV, is a financial advisor, and tells people that's what they should be doing? What? And buy gold. If Peter Schiff was not Jewish, I believe he would have been barred from the industry long ago. But, and if you don't, and by the way, if you don't think that this Jewish privilege exists, then I would challenge that you're either Jewish and you don't want to admit the truth, you're in denial, or you're just ignorant, you haven't looked at it. Okay? Let me just close this with a good example. Bernie Madoff, right? Bernie Madoff. Jewish privilege. Media, Jewish privilege. Okay? That's it for today.